Hawk's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5 hour. Number two begins right now. 251-343-0106 would be a touch of the show. All you got to do is text me. Update, ladies and gentlemen. So if you weren't listening in the first hour, we spent a little time on it. A new piece of political propaganda has come to the forefront of Alabama's lieutenant gubernatorial race. Very serious, high-minded office here that Wes Allen and John Wall are seeking the Republican nomination for. Very, very, very important office. You preside over the Senate. You get appointments to a few hundred boards and commissions. And then you also you get to break ties in the Alabama State Senate if it ever comes to that. And you're first in line to be governor should something happen, as we have seen in numerous times in the past here in Alabama in recent memory. Very, very dogged pursuit of this Republican nomination. May 19th, the candidates are just separated by a mere 2 points. So if you can imagine this high stakes election here for lieutenant governor of Alabama. And last night, Wes Allen's campaign they went with the nuclear option. They went to the raccoon. I think in the next segment we may play some snippets. We may play it in its entirety, as a matter of fact. Charlie the Raccoon is featured in this very, very important, very consequential piece of political advertising. So Charlie the Raccoon, we are told, is John Wall's pet raccoon. And he knows all of John Wall's secrets, and he lays them out on the table that Tennessee driver's license stuff, and that he went and celebrated Ramadan in a Muslim mosque. Yeah, I love the way the raccoon has adopted the word Muslim. And I forget what else is in it, but it features a talking raccoon. Well, upon further examination, we got to the bottom of it. Here on FM Talk 106.5. The raccoon in question wasn't actually John Wall's raccoon. It was John Wall's fiance's raccoon. Yep, you heard it here first. Brittany Montgomery, who is engaged to John Wall, had a pet raccoon. And we are told by Brittany's grandmother, reaching out to this very important high-minded public affairs program on FM Talk 106.5. And I say it is, this was from Susan. Quote, John never had a raccoon. The raccoon in the discussion was my granddaughter's, Mr. Wall's fiance's, Charlie, which I lovingly called my grand beast. John met Charlie maybe once at my daughter's home, as the Walls are longtime family friends. Desperation in the Allen camp? Question mark. So I'm going to try to see if I can get this very, very important political advertisement. So you can make your own judgment here. Do you want to believe the raccoon that there's something nefarious going on here with John Wall? 251-343-0106. Yes. Charlie the Raccoon, a talking raccoon, is featured in a Wes Allen campaign advertisement. we assume, which is meant to be on Facebook. I don't know if it'll run on TV. Maybe it will. You never know. In this high, high stakes drama we have for the Lieutenant Governor's office. So that piece of breaking news I wanted to pass along. We just got the update from the raccoon's grandmother, or a grand beast. So that would make her the, I don't know how this all works. Somebody who understands the raccoon relations can please chime in. 251-343-0106. Also, we're still playing, it's everybody's favorite game show. Is Barry Moore a veteran? And, everybody gets to take a turn and save for themselves. But the final arbiter will be Jared Hudson, who's still not sure yet. We're still doing that too. But here in about a half hour, of Catherine Robertson, well, a little less than a half hour, join us. She is running for Attorney General. A named texter, I smoked weed one good time while I was on vacation in a different country. My opinion is the same on it now as it was before, and it makes you stupider and lazier, but it was the greatest night's sleep I ever had in my life. Is it possible that there is a medicinal benefit to this substance? I am not a doctor. I've heard it both ways. I lean against it. But I do hear from people who say, look, this as a way to relieve pain is a much better option than opioids or any kind of painkillers, prescription painkillers. Thankfully, I'm not in a place in my life where I need to do pain management. But I could give the benefit of the doubt on that. But the Reefer Madness stuff is just not winning me over. I'm certainly not pro-recreational marijuana. We already have... Like, we chose our intoxicant. Society's intoxicant was going to be alcohol long, 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 long time ago. And when you introduce a new intoxicant into society, it does have impacts. If we had decided long ago that we would have opted for cannabis instead of alcohol, then maybe, but that's sort of where I am on it. It's not something I spend a lot of time thinking about. Let's keep moving here. I guess she's expanding the family business of selling grass, but it shows bad character, in my opinion. That from Jason. Lifelong mobilian here, and I was extremely disappointed seeing the gay banners on Water Street. I don't care if you're gay, and the city should not either. No way city funds should be paying for this, you know what. For every person who votes against Christine for the cannabis issue, they're talking about they get her 2 to 3 votes. Those people are just dumb and they don't understand they're on the losing side of an 80-20 issue. Also, have you talked about how retarded Wes Allen's campaign is? Fire dog. Oh, God, they pulled the raccoon out. Won't someone think of the children? The raccoon's very serious. Does somebody pay out the raccoon to squeal on John Wall? I don't know what the laws are when we talk about pet raccoons. I don't know. It is a little weird to have a pet raccoon, but sure, people have weird pets. But they're implying that I think John Wall sleeps with a raccoon. They show the ad, the raccoon start, I'm going to play it. I gotta get that hooked up, that audio. He's standing on the front porch of John Wall's supposed house, and then he talks about all the reasons you should be against John Wall, and then he goes inside and climbs into bed with John Wall. That is an approved campaign ad. Is that where they get him? Is that where they're going to take down this political juggernaut? Anybody swayed by the raccoon ad? Well, wait till I play it and you can answer that question. But the raccoon ad is real. We looked it up. They are the West Allen camp is paying for it to show up in people's Facebook timelines. Abby says, wow, Wes Allen is not a serious person. I think he's a serious person. I don't know about his campaign. It's kind of mean-spirited. A little bit. There's a little anger here. That, I'll just say, like, you're running for lieutenant governor. If you're Wes Allen. And you announce way, way early. You're doing all the things you need to do, going to every Republican club, going to every little Rotary Club meeting, shaking hands, calling people, trying to raise money, doing everything. And then you get all the way through qualifying. And then the night before the last day of qualifying, Donald Trump puts out a True Social post announcing his endorsement of someone other than you, who's not even in the race yet. Who's not even, we weren't even talking about the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party being lieutenant governor. And then around 5 o'clock the next day, right 5 minutes before they close qualifying, John Wall fills out the paperwork, writes the check, and he is in the lieutenant gubernatorial race. And it was supposed to be an easy path for you. And now you have a competitive primary. And the election comes and goes, and the two candidates separated by just a mere points of the thousands of votes. And you go into overtime into this runoff, and tensions are high. Drama is thick. People are getting tired. And you have to go to the raccoon. You call in the raccoon. Jim, FYI, it is against the law to have a pet raccoon in Alabama. Is it against the law in Tennessee? That's where I think his fiance is from. Unnamed texture, I listened to the Dale Jackson segment this morning. Not good for Hudson. This is what happens when a politician gets pressed to go off script and speak the truth. Yeah, it was hard to listen to. Dale Jackson, about 2 hours ago, 2.5 hours ago, something like that, had Jared Hudson on his show, and they got into it about whether or not Barrymore was a veteran. Why does it matter what Dale Jackson thinks? Well, Dale Jackson was in the Army. He is a veteran. He served and was honorably discharged and went to the University of Florida on the GI Bill. He kind of has way more background and understanding of this issue than I do. It's where I drank my birth. But you always get this at least once a cycle where one of these guys does this on the airwaves. 251-343-0106. I'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Just full of sinners and believers. Learn that happiness on earth ain't just for high achievers.
Cowboys, and they still are, it seems, sadly in search of one step in back of themselves, and they're slow.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Friday morning. Catherine Robertson, candidate for Attorney General, will be with us here in just a moment. Also on the show, Todd Stacey and State Senator Chris Elliott. All right. I've been talking a lot about Charlie the Raccoon, and this is a real thing. And You're going to get to hear it here on the Jeff Poor Show.
I'm Charlie, John Wall's pet raccoon. I live with him in his house. I sleep with him in his bed, so I know John Wall. Wall made up a fake identity to cheat in elections. Wall refused to vote for Trump. And Wall celebrated Ramadan in a Muslim mosque. Oops, gotta go. Time for bed.
And there you have it. It shows him scampering off to go crawl back into bed with John Wall. So now that Charlie has spilled the beans, if you will, on John Wall, has that moved you over to West Island? Has that swayed you? Not voting for Trump, celebrating Ramadan, and making up a fake identity? Has that moved you over to the West Allen camp? You heard it from his pet raccoon. That's a very reliable source, by the way. Now, I hear conflicting things. Now, I see it with my own eyes. I see the raccoon talking here. But I've also been told that the raccoon died years ago. However, we have put out feelers to get Charlie the raccoon to come on the Jeff Poor Show and do a segment with us. Lots to pick his brain about there. But Charlie the Raccoon there spilled the beans on John Wall. It's very, very consequential lieutenant gubernatorial election where, you know, we have a very high-minded view of politics here, that the seriousness of the office. You could cast the tie-breaking vote in the Alabama State Senate that could change the state for generations. You! In the event something were to happen to Tommy Tuberville, you could be voting for somebody who could be the next governor of Alabama. And there you got Charlie the Raccoon there kind of laying things out for us, letting us know, hey, there's some things y'all need to know about here. Mike, I'm sure we could have crowdsourced a much more effective campaign for West Allen. He literally just set money on fire. Also, wouldn't you call it a grand coon? Like weird folks call dogs their grand dogs. Well, at the Montgomery Wall gatherings, they call it the grand beast. So, Mike, I don't know the answer to that. Fire dog, aye. For one, welcome our new raccoon overlords. I'd like to remind them that as a trusted radio personality, I can be helpful in rounding up others to toll in their large trash cans. Well, I tell you what, though. I mean, that's the part of the state where they do have the Rocket City trash pandas. So, like, our raccoon overlords are making very subtle cultural advances. And now apparently are players in they're very, very important players in our political discussions. Squirrelery to gay pride agenda is not about living and leaving alone. It is about spreading and influencing. It is about telling kids to be boys and girls if they want to be chopping out stuff and penalizing parents if they object. It is about changing definitions and policies. Heck, it is an unnatural act that needs to not be explained. But actually, they do need to be emphasized. It's about encouraging unsafe behavior, being promiscuous, debauchery. I always laugh when I see homosexual couples break up after they claimed it was a more true and successful love. Leo Barrymore lost my vote by claiming veteran status when he did not earn it. Dell Jackson Lex agrees that technically Barry does not meet the 180 days active duty requirement to be classified as a veteran. You got to hear this Dell Jackson Jared interview. Chad, raccoons are known for digging up and spreading trash. True. True. Do you trust Charlie the raccoon after the, we get Charlie the floor there? Putting out the invitation for Charlie to join the Jeff Poor Show at his pleasure. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Away the blues.
back to the Jeff Poor Show to Talk 106.5. We'll be in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. That is how you communicate with the program, Talking Raccoons, Veteran Service, or whatever else is on your mind. So please utilize the text line. Still come on the program. We got Todd Stacey in about a half hour from Alabama Daily News and Capital Journal. And then we'll close it out with our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. So please stick around for that. But joining us now on the line, she gets the distinction to be the first guest on the program today. Our good friend running for Attorney General, Catherine Robertson, is with us. Catherine, how are you?
Hey, Jeff. Good morning. And don't ask me about raccoons, please.
Yeah, I'll try not to. Raccoons are a tough topic. I don't really understand, but we'll do our best to steer clear of that. So beyond that, how is the campaign going?
Campaign is going well, burning it up out here. Was down in the Gulf Coast yesterday and back up in North Alabama today, about to go see my friends over at the Cattlemen's Convention. So just running across the finish line here till Tuesday.
Well, and so, you know, we've, I mean, it's been a long journey, but what do you do left yet? And I guess you kind of got a little bit of this maybe the last few days of the primary, but here it is, the last few days of the runoff. What does that look like for you going forward?
I think the goal right now is just to get your folks out to vote. I mean, I've got a great base, a great coalition that we've built out there of grassroots folks. I think the goal right now is just to keep them excited, to get them out on Tuesday. I mean, you know, there it just seemed like the 19th was a lot more front of mind for folks, and the runoff's a little bit different. So just trying to make stops at the places where I really have a strong base of support and just encouraging them, not only for them to vote, but to get their friends and family out as well.
Well, and we'll certainly be watching come Tuesday night. Let's kick it off here. We talked about this at the debate Monday night, some of the things, but sort of your view of this attorney general's office. Where do you see yourself? Should you win it? What are you going to try to do on day one? What are some of your priorities if you are elected?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I've got priorities still left for my time as chief counsel, right? I've got, you know, 6 months left and as Steve Marshall's number two. And I think that right now we are really excited about this redistricting decision and want to squeeze some more wins out of the kind of analysis that the court gave us. You know, I've talked a lot about our state's desegregation orders that are still in place in some of our school systems. I think the Calais case is going to make it much easier for us to get those lifted. So there's some work that needs to start, you know, immediately in the wake of this redistricting win. But long term, I mean, one of my first orders of business has got to be to recruit young talent. We have got a lot of attorneys in our office that are going to retire probably when the administration changes, that, you know, have gotten their years of service in. And I've got to get the kind of young talent that has great conservative principles and is excited about this kind of work to come and help me deliver wins for the folks.
Well, something, you know, it always comes up with the attorney general's office, and it's a, I guess, a frustration of mine because, but like you, in some places, you have local prosecutors and they won't prosecute certain crimes, be it, we talked about it the other night, particularly with absentee ballot the hijinks, but, you know, gambling, there's a lot of stuff that a local district attorney is not going to pursue. Maybe it's political, ideological, philosophical, whatever. That falls on the attorney general's office. And do you see that as something where if you are elected, that you, if you got to step in here and enforce the law, and I think there's a lot of examples of that. How do you feel about doing that?
Yeah. I mean, look, my goal is to motivate locals, you know, to do their jobs and to do it well. If they need training, if they need assistance, if they need resources from our office, you know, we want to have the kind of relationships where it's a collaboration and a partnership. That's the goal. But certainly that's not going to be the case in every county and every judicial circuit. And, you know, of course, we're going to have to be willing to step in. Now, that's not to say we've got loads of attorneys that have nothing else to do other than to go do the job of a local. We don't have that. And so we're going to have to hold locals accountable. You don't just get a pass. But we're always going to step in to make sure that the law is enforced. And I want to ensure that we've got the resources to do that as needed.
The another thing, you mentioned it just a moment ago. Okay, so we have we're at a stasis here with the redistricting, and we have a path forward through the end of this election cycle. But there's still going to be at least proceedings here regarding Milligan and approaching that. But getting things to where they fall in line with the Louisiana decision, that's going to fall on your office. Talk a little bit about that.
Look, my vision and my hope for the long term when it comes to redistricting is that we are defending a 7-0 map. 6-1's fine for this cycle, beats the heck out of 5-2, but that's not what I want to be fighting for. 6-1's the status quo, and I just look forward to working with our legislature to make sure that we have 7 Republican seats, and we'll defend that to the end. We've got the basis now to do it between the decision we got for Alabama, the decision Louisiana got. There's precedence now to make sure that we have the map we want. I continue to believe that Terry Sewell's district is a racial gerrymander. It just is. And so if we want to rid our state of that altogether, let's do it. So that's what I hope. That's what I hope we're fighting over is a 7-0 map.
Well, and to get to the 7-0 map, it's going to take the legislature. But I think they're going to lean on your office, if elected, to really come up with the right, give them the right tools to put the right things in place, that if it should go to eventually the federal court, that they are on firm legal ground. And you feel like you're at a place to advise the legislature if it comes to that.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a partnership. It's, you know, I've always tried to establish that. That is not to say that we don't have our disagreements with the legislature. We do from time to time, but it's got to be a team sport. And I think we're all on the same page about what we want the future to look like here for our congressional districts. We've delivered some very clutch wins here over the last couple of weeks, not just in the congressional maps, but in the legislative maps as well. We've got the playbook now. We've got the roadmap, and I'll do whatever I can to help them get that across the finish line.
Talk a little bit. I know people were paying attention, but last night the state was set to execute a murderer, and the Supreme Court stepped in and put a stay on it. But this back and forth sort of happens sometimes. But your reaction to what we saw yesterday?
Yeah, we were very surprised by the lower court's decision in that case. We have carried out several nitrogen executions now with no issues. Courts have green-lighted us, and then all of a sudden they didn't. Federal courts are difficult to predict. I think it's a good thing to note for people that think we just execute at will and, you know, that these cases aren't hard. They are hard. There are so many hurdles that get put in your way. So we were a little surprised, definitely disappointed, but not at all deterred. Mr. Lee will be executed, and it's just a matter of timing to figure out how and when, but we don't give up. You see a lot of states out there, even red states, that really just give up on some of these cases. Very few states carry out as many executions as we do. Our folks are relentless. We feel like we owe it to the people of Alabama and to the victims' families to get these things done. And so we will. It's a setback, but we're not done.
Joined by Catherine Robertson. She is running for Attorney General here in Alabama on the Republican ticket. And I brought this up the other night, but for our sake of our audience, we'll walk through it. Should the time come that we have a Democrat administration and make it the transition from what we have now, a friendly administration with the Trump administration, to potentially a hostile one with the Democrat administration. I mean, we saw it during Biden and we saw it during Obama, where the administration wants to impose its will on a lot of red states. How will your office counter that?
Yeah, well, we have spent the last couple of years and we'll spend the next 2 years getting ready to protect our state from the worst case scenario. I'm not predicting a worst case scenario, but my thought has always been Republicans waste the good times. We get too comfortable and we don't do enough to protect ourselves for the future if a Democrat were to come back. And so that's what this Calais thing is all about. That's what the redistricting fight is all about. you've got to do what you can to insulate yourself through the court system and through litigation to make sure that you're clawing back every piece of federal state sovereignty that you can from the federal government. That has been our mantra for a long time. I've repeatedly sounded the alarm that Alabama is so federally dependent on funding that we sell our sovereignty and we have no protection when the bad days come. And so we're doing a better job of that, but it's something that, you know, assuming, well, we can go ahead and assume we're going to have Governor Tuberville. It's something I want to talk to him about, because you just don't see Congress providing the red states a lot of relief there. You don't see it really being a topic. The 10th Amendment is just, you know, totally forgotten. But we've learned a lot of good lessons under Obama and Biden. And I just want to make sure we are doing everything we can to insulate Alabama from the worst case scenario in Washington. And we got to get those wins right now.
The when you pull it, I'm sure it shows up on the radar, but the illegal immigration and some of the consequences that come from that, human trafficking, drug trafficking, and so on and so forth. But really the state's role here, and this has been something that the state's had to deal with for decades now, but working in concert with the federal government on immigration. And really, if you're Attorney General, then what would be the state's role in combating illegal immigration?
Well, the number one thing that I want to do is I want to sit down with Tommy Tuberville on day one and ask him to sign a 287G agreement between our Department of Corrections and the state of Alabama. A 287G is an agreement that basically allows for dual enforcement, that, you know, allows the state or local law enforcement to essentially be deputized to help enforce immigration laws. Our state has missed an opportunity on that. It's something that our partners at ICE very recently brought to our attention. But if we want to focus on getting the worst of the worst out of our state, they're already in our prisons. And we are missing an opportunity to take advantage of those agreements to get them out as soon as they've served their time in Alabama. That would be my number one priority. And I have no doubt that Coach Tuberville will be willing to do that alongside me.
So here's the question, and I'm you have to apologize for not really having a grasp of it, but it's come up throughout this campaign cycle between you and your opponent, Jay Mitchell. But the dark money and that, why does any of this matter to the voter out there? Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, I mean, I have received a great deal of support from the Republican Attorneys General Association and their network. National conservative groups are organized often as 501c4s. There's nothing untoward about it. It's a big donor privacy issue that is more prevalent at the national level than it is in Alabama. These are longstanding relationships that I've had for 20 years. And without those relationships and those friendships, my campaign would have never gotten out the door. I'm running against a guy who's the pick of the Inside Montgomery crowd. He's the pick of the BCA, who's heavily funded him. You know, I wouldn't have had a shot. He raised $650,000 in a state Supreme Court race where he didn't have an opponent. He won that election, obviously, with no competition, and put all $650,000 of that into this race. I would have been written off, as you well know, had I started out with $0 in the bank. And so these friends that I've had over 20 years that have been a part of me in my legal career and in the conservative legal movement came to help me out. And there's nothing untoward about it. There's nothing secretive about it. But I think you can also see that I have an amazing grassroots coalition that no other candidate running for anything has built. Farmers, cattlemen, foresters, sheriffs, NRA. And so I'm proud of the support. The AG plays a big role inside the state and a big role beyond the state, and I've got the support both places.
Okay, well, we'll wrap it up on this. Let's say this is your closing pitch to voters out there, and I don't know how many people are undecided at this point, but there may be some. You're trying to woo them to your side. What do you say to them?
Listen, I'm an eighth generation Alabamian. I'm from a rural county in Alabama. My entire career has been public. I have a very public track record over 10 years under the leadership of Steve Marshall. I know that office like the back of my hand, and you will not find anybody running for any office that is more dedicated to winning for our state and that can be more effective faster. And so that's what I'm asking for your vote for: elect an attorney general who's not going to have a day one, but a day 3,651. It'll be another day at the office for me to go out and work hard for the folks of Alabama.
We managed to make it through the segment without any raccoon talk, so kudos there. But it was...
And I'm from Selma, Alabama, so, you know, it would have been fair game.
It was pretty far down the list, though, to be honest. Folks want to find out more about your campaign. Can you point them to a website or a page or something?
Yeah, KatherineForAG.com, KGR27 on X, and you can find me on social media, Katherine Robertson for Attorney General.
Hey, Katherine, thanks for making time for us, and best of luck to you on Tuesday.
Thank you, Jeff. Always good to be with you.
All right. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I don't know what's wrong with me, cause I know I need my rest. But if I don't stay up all night and sleep all day, I ain't at my best. Hey! Yes, we are beer drinkers. Yes, we are hell raisers. People get out of our way wherever we go.
Come and day alive like I do every night from the heart of Uranio. I play a little sad and I play a lot of glad and a few old cheap songs. Here's open everybody.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. Still to come. Todd Stacey, the next segment, we will get that working. And then State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, to kind of close out what has been a very long week for yours truly. But we are seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Tuesday will be here soon. I don't know what kind of wildlife to expect, but we've already had at least one raccoon. Who knows what the future has in store. Mike writes this: could you imagine the stories John Wall's butterflies are telling the Allen campaign right now? Also, Chairman Wall starts getting attacked so much that he needs to help fend off bandits. Then there's a good bit of coon hunting clubs throughout the state that would love to set their dogs loose. I'm just gossipy raccoons, man. Who would have had that on the bingo card for the 2026 election cycle? Damn Yankee, Katherine Robertson might help her campaign if she loses to Katie Britt. Actually, I don't think that's... I've known Katherine a long time. I mean, I've known Katie a long time, and they've always had that sort of... It might just be sort of an Alabama thing. But she's... she's got a race ahead of her on Tuesday against Jay Mitchell. We had Jay on yesterday. He actually came to the Ferret Bureau here on, the new and improved, by the way. Sometimes I still kind of figured out all the levers and switches to make sure that I can, you know, get things rolling properly, but we're going to get there. So there you have it, though. We've kind of put a fishy touch on the AG's race for the cycle. We still got to look at some Ackermister stuff, and we had John Wall come on the other day. I don't think we'll hear from Wes Allen. Wes, you're invited. We can talk raccoons. I don't know how you got Charlie the Raccoon to squeal like that, especially on John Wall's front porch, but that was quite a feat. And then U.S. Senate race is the other one, the other big one. There's also a few down ballot things. The one, Joe Friedman and Francis Hulk Jones, that's a bitter fight to the end. I don't know how that is going to shake out, but there's a lot of money being pumped into that to save Francis Hulk Jones' seat from North Alabama. And a vicious, vicious attack ad leveled at Joe Friedman, which, if I'm not mistaken, I think they accused him of walking out of his kids, and his kids came back and said, that's not true at all. It's just a lot of things coming out of the spigot here. It's like, as they say, drinking through a fire hose. 251-343-0106. Jason, I guess we've learned to keep your friends close and your coons closer. Well, just how trustworthy can a raccoon be? They do seem like creatures who could run a scam on you. I don't know. Am I wrong here? Sort of, if we look at the vast array of wildlife and forest creatures, you look at the rabbits and the squirrels and all the, you know, I don't know, whatever else, birds and bees, and then you got the raccoon. And now the raccoon. In the raccoon is the October surprise. It's like an old Chinese proverb or something. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.